Curiosity.
I'm Patricia, and this is Roots of Curiosity, channel for creative disturbance. Today, to explore alternative ways to communicate science in a fun way, I have a guest with lots of experience in this topic. So I'm here with Jen Wong, the director of Guerrilla Science in the UK. So hi, Jen, and thank you so much for joining the Creative Disturbance community.
Hi.
So Jen, you have many years now of experience in event production and curation. I know you worked with Science Museum and the Wellcome Collection and also the Natural History Museum. And then you joined, or you started together with some other people, this amazing idea of guerrilla science. And I don't know if you can just briefly introduce the general concepts of guerrilla science.
Sure. So guerrilla science wants to revolutionize how people experience science. We want to spark curiosity, defy convention, and inspire wonder. So what we do is we connect people with science by producing live experiences that entertain, inspire, challenge, and amaze. And we put audiences at the center of the story. So our kind of ultimate goal, I suppose, is to imagine a world where science is integrated into culture fully, and where it's accessible for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. And clearly, people that are not into science, and one of the things that I find very particular about guerrilla science is also that you started off by going to music festivals. And of course, being in the UK, that's like it's a huge scene, and there's a lot of science festivals. So you feel that it was easier to engage people while they're already being there in a science festival. It was easier to have them engage into science questions, because one goes to a science festival and is not expecting to have suddenly some challenge in science to go through. But you feel this was a good strategy?
Yeah, so that element of surprise and unexpectedness is very important to what we do. So guerrilla science started at a music festival in the UK called the Secret Garden Party, and that was back in 2008. And the reason for doing something like that at a music festival as opposed to a science festival is just that at the time, in 2008, music festivals were probably a whole lot more fun than science festivals, to be quite honest. And Secret Garden Party, as a festival, is renowned for being very playful, very arts-focused, and very kind of visually, out there. And so they also run action camps, which are activity camps or spaces for activities within the festival site where anyone with a great idea can submit that to the organisers. And if they like your idea, they'll give you a platform to explore and deliver your idea further. So guerrilla science started as one of those action camps, and it was wildly successful just because people weren't expecting to come across or stumble upon a tent that was discussing everything from string theory to black holes to making kind of, well, actually smelting Peter. So what we did was we created a little fire, and then we got people casting various items and making things for themselves. We also had a mini zoo. So that was a guy called Tim. He is an ex-zookeeper, but what he does is he brings a variety of mostly reptiles, but also insects and some amphibians to the festival, where people can come face to face with a coral snake or a toothed frog from Argentina. And that kind of combination of everything from performances to workshops to talks and kind of live animals was how guerrilla science started at Secret Garden Party.
And so, Jen, who are the people that are in loco there in these activities? Are they mainly scientists or science communicators, or both?
It's a mixture of both, but the people who are in the festival audience are, they're just your typical music festival punter. So probably quite young. Some will be kind of still in secondary school, so they probably have had recent experiences of science lessons. A lot of other people will have stopped studying science when they were like 15, and now they're like 25 at a music festival and probably working something like marketing or PR, or in city, or in something completely different. So that mix of people and open-minded nature of the music festival makes that the perfect place to explore science.
But I meant also the people from Guerrilla Science that are there in Loco to do the activities that are trying to amaze and inspire all these general targets. Are they usually scientists, or it's like, would you be one of those in there also, or you usually also try to talk and you have some kind of collaborations with universities to have scientists also working there?
So we work with scientists all the time. So scientists will be a kind of core type of participant within our program, but we also work with artists, performers, musicians, and kind of, I guess, other types of people like comedians as well. So it's a real mix, and what we try and do with our program is facilitate collaborations between the scientists and somebody else. Somebody else who can bring a different angle or perspective on their work. Just because we find that collaboration is like the ultimate catalyst for creativity, I think. And because what we want to do is provide audiences with a slightly different experience, we can do that with the kind of type the format that we create with our participants. So, for example, at Zika Garden Party, we worked with a neuroscientist and a classically trained piano performer. So he was a performance artist, and the neuroscientist was doing some research into performance stress and anxiety, and so she hooked him, this guy, up with a variety of electrodes to kind of monitor him as he performed. So that was a live experiment that was done at Zika Garden Party. But then, yeah, there is just a lot of potential for communicating a scientist's research in different ways.
Mm-hmm. I think, I'm curious also because I completely agree with you at this level of having more of collaborative approach in order to convey all these messages and to engage more people. But I know how sometimes time, and it's important to have, if you have like artists working with scientists, they need their time to work together also. So I'm wondering if these people that are involved in guerrilla science activities, if they meet in advance and if they work together in some kind of activity to then present there, or if they already met, or how does it work if they if it's just there when you go, you know, there's going to be this event and they just happen that both of them will be there. I'm assuming that this involves some planning in advance, no?
Yeah, there's a lot of planning involved. So I suppose for a creative collaboration to really be successful, it needs to be facilitated quite well, and everybody's expectations need to be managed quite clearly. And so the Guerrilla Science team works very closely with our participants to curate that relationship so that the ultimate product, which is the audience experience at Zika Garden Party, for example, is the best it can be. We also do kind of, I suppose, more traditional things, like we will have invited speakers if they're doing something really interesting. We have a variety of formats that that we run. So one is the jelly brain dissection, which involves us creating a brain, which is then dissected with a neuroscientist and then fed to the audience. That is something that's a very tried and tested format for guerrilla science. And so we have worked with everyone from neuroscientists and neurosurgeons to be the kind of dissector. But essentially, it's a story, and it's telling the story of how scientists understand the functional neuroanatomy of the brain through particular historical case studies, through their own individual research area, and also through the medium of like getting hands-on with the brain that you then eat. So it's a mixture of things. We often work on a much longer time frame with certain collaborators, and so sometimes at the music festival we will trial an element of that final event. So it's kind of like more of a work in progress rather than the finished thing at the festival, because at Super Garden Party we have a tent, we have a 3-day program, and so I think also music festival audiences are a bit more open perhaps to seeing something that they can engage with for 5 minutes or for 20 minutes or for an hour. And so in a way that's like the perfect R&D space, because everybody's they haven't bought a ticket to see your thing, so they're kind of, it's a bit more free flow and it's a bit more relaxed as well for the participants. And also sometimes in the past we've used the festival audience to kind of shape the final direction of the event as well.
I think that's really great. And I think another thing that I found really special about Guerrilla Science is also, apart from these events open to everyone in unexpected locations, you also have some projects that can be quite important for scientists themselves, right? So some longer time projects that maybe, apart from communicating science, you can actually engage, and as you were you said before, having the audience as a central importance of the activity, but also have the scientists explore some scientific questions that you might want to address, but take advantage of this scene to collect data also, and then further develop that scientific question. So I had the opportunity to do a podcast also with Daniel Margulis that everyone can listen to. And I guess he was one of the neuroscientists involved with you also in this Science of Disco event, which was very, very fun and I could attend to. But I think this is also a very special case where I think not only engaging people but also having more scientists open to these questions, and having, in the end, it's a different set of tools that scientists can use, right? And so you think that's working well also for you?
Yeah, definitely. So Science of Disco was a live experiment that took place in a club called Car Wash. So Car Wash is London's longest running disco nightclub. And what we did was we tracked the movement of, I think it was 75 participants over the course of a DJ set, which was obviously disco, being a disco club. And then Daniel and Melissa, who are the neuroscientists, analysed the data that we collected to pinpoint certain tracks that achieved the maximum amount of synchrony within the audience. And I think that was phase one of an experiment that they're planning to create a phase two for. But that was really brilliant for us, because when people, we basically invited people to take part in an experiment that involved dancing. And because of where we've come from and our origins and our audience following, that was very appealing to people. So it was like, they were having fun, but they were also contributing to research. And that, I think, made the event that much more special to those who participated, because it had an extra layer of meaning than an ordinary outing to a disco nightclub might do.
Mm-hmm. And this was indeed something that it is important to say that Guerrilla Science is not only present in the UK, right? So I heard you recently, you got a grant from Simons Foundation, right? And so you were awarded with a generous grant to now spread more science events all over the US, right? So that's going to be challenging also, right?
Yeah, and I think the US team are now hiring. So Mark and Olivia, based in New York, are going to be expanding the Guerrilla Science kind of program of activities over there, but they're going to be also making inroads into the US music festival scene as well. And I think, you know, there are large cultural differences between America and the UK, and I think it's going to be really interesting for Mark and Olivia to try and navigate that as they grow guerrilla science over there. But it's also a very exciting time for us because, you know, that's obviously quite a milestone, and to expand and build on the work that the UK team have been doing for a while now is very exciting. It's a very exciting time for us.
We're going to stay tuned to look at all of that and try to enjoy all the next events that will follow this. So, yeah, I think we're running out of time. I want to thank you, Jen. And as usual, we always try to finish with one last question related with the topic of our podcast channel, which is I want to ask you in particular, what is the thing these days that still drives your curiosity?
What drives my curiosity? I suppose the thing that really currently fascinates me is, and has fascinated me for a very long time, is this idea of intersections. So for us in guerrilla science, it's those areas of overlap that really that are grey and where everything is a bit more flexible. I think those areas are of interest to us because we think that those areas are where true experimentation and innovation can occur. And because we work across disciplines, it's those areas that previously have been most fruitful for us in terms of both collaboration and inspiration. And we've fed that into our events and experiences that we create and the audience experience resulting from those events has been, you know, that much richer and that much more positive because we have been able to layer in the different perspectives to enrich the final audience experience. So grey areas.
Okay, thank you so much, Jen. Roots of Curiosity.